anything that could be better than that if I got to sing with you, Jason. Where are you? Maybe you could work me in next time. Amen. We'll pass on that. I heard that feeble laughter that I was shed there. All right, improving your brain and reflecting or perfecting your mind. And I hope we'll have some more information about improving your brain. That's a gift of God, that God has given you a brain, which is an unusual, most fantastic computer of the flesh that's working inside of you, that you take advantage of such a minimal possibilities of how you use your brain. And we've been discovering up to this point that we are not our brain. Our brain is something God gave us in our body as a computer to keep this marvelous machine going that we have, our bodies. And we have found out that it is wonderfully and marvelously made, that our bodies are some type of creation of God that's fantastic. But we are not our bodies. Our bodies are just the container or temple of who we really are. And what you see is not James Strait. You see my body walking around. But when this body has gone and is a banquet for the worms, I don't like to think about that. Carolyn doesn't like me to use that phrase either. I will still be somewhere. And the real me will be either with God or away from God for eternity. That's a startling thought. But I am not my brain. I'm not my body. I am a soul, a spirit. I am a living soul. The Bible says that God breathed the breath of life into man and he became a body. He became a living body. No, he became a living soul, a spirit, and is who we really are. Our soul is developed as our body and spirit are brought together. We have a personality. Lynn and I look a lot alike, but we ain't just alike. We have a physical body that's been created by the two people we love a lot, and it's given us our physical package, but our minds are so different, aren't they? Yeah. We're not going to elaborate on the differences of those minds, but a lot of them are alike. But see, we're not even our mind. That really gets some people. Because how many of you have ever argued with yourself? Well, who were you arguing with? You say, myself? No, you're arguing with your mind. You say, well, I thought my mind was me. No, your mind is not you. You create your mind. That's what we've been saying. God gave you a brain, but you created the mind that you now have. You created the way you think about everything. Whether you vacillate toward the truth or whether you vacillate toward lies. I find that a lot of people in their marriages and in the world believe more lies than they believe the truth. Absolutely. A lot of people believe the world is negative and dark and unpromising. How many of you know someone like that? How many of you are like that? Okay. Some people are negative. How do they get negative? They created a negative mind by the observations and by the things that they thought they were figuring out in life, and they created a negative mindset, and they're very negative about life. We've been trying to learn how to have a spiritual mind. That's perfecting your mind. That's creating, you know, you need to put good food in your body to have a good brain. You need to understand about exercise and a lot of other things. But to have a good brain, you could still be messed up because of your mind. There are some people with great IQs, and they are dumb as dumb can be. They don't know much about anything. Some of them don't even believe about anything about God. Now, that's dumb. The Bible says the fool has said in his heart, what? There is no God. That's the Bible says. That is a fool. And I really believe it. The more I have seen the evidences of God all around me, the more he confirms his existence to me, the more of the miracles I see in my life and the life of others, my thoughts are, it is a fool that says there is no God. That's someone whose mind has been developed by someone, and that someone is the enemy of God, Satan, who would like all mankind not to believe in God, not to have a spiritual mind. So what we've really been talking about in perfecting the mind is how to have a spiritual mind. And, you know, we said this, I don't think we've mentioned this verse in our study yet, but the Apostle Paul, when he's talking about a person who has a spiritual mind and a person who has a natural carnal mind, and that term just means somebody that only thinks in what they can see and what they can hear and what they can feel and what they can comprehend with their own intellect, that's a natural mind or a carnal mind, and that mind gravitates to getting everything out of life that you could get for yourself. If you have a fleshly mindset or a carnal mind, you're just in it for yourself. You're in it for whatever you could suck out of life from everybody else, and you don't have within you the ability to be what God really wants you to be because you don't have a spiritual mind. And what we're talking about is how to develop a spiritual mind, and the Bible says the carnal mind is death. What that means, it's dark, negative. It means it's unhappy a lot of the times. It's not full of vitality. The carnal mind is death, the Bible says. It's death from God's Spirit. It's not able to hear from God. It's not using God's abilities that God would give us. But the spiritual mind, can you finish this for me? The carnal mind is death, but the spiritual mind is blank and blank. Can anybody fill in the blanks? Is life and peace is the second thing. Life and peace. Which, everlasting, that's good. That was right in there. But see, look, what does that mean? The spiritual mind is life and peace. It means it's got God's life. That's real life. Our physical life is going to be gone one day, but you better have the spiritual life in you. You better have the eternal life of God inside of you. Here's what the Bible says, that this is the record that God has given to us, eternal life. That's the spiritual life. And that life is in His Son, Jesus Christ. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever has not the Son has not life. Even though they're physically alive, they don't have spiritual life nor a spiritual mind. So we're trying, as Christians, I'm talking to men and women today who have the life of God in you. You have eternal life. The Bible says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth in me has eternal life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is delivered from condemnation, and is filled with life and the peace of God. So that's what we're studying about, how to have the spiritual mind. And we looked at last Sunday that it's all about what we choose to think about. I want you to think about this. Brother Jason, right on target here, he reads the passage we studied last Sunday before he sang. Lets me know he's listening, you know, to the message, listening to these thoughts, that what you think about, and what many people don't realize, is that you choose what you think about, even though you don't. You say, oh, no, it just rushes into my mind. Really? You just rush it in your mind, you can do nothing about what you're thinking? Well, if that would so, you would have killed several people. So you were able to control your thoughts. How many of you have ever said, I'd just kill him if I could get a hold of him? Let me see your hands. Some of you need the message on thou shalt not lie, because I know there are several people I would have killed if I could only got a hold of them at the right time and nobody's looking. You know, maybe. No, not really. But you know how people have killed people with their thoughts getting away from them, and the moment it was over, they wish they hadn't. And I mean, that's the truth. I know husbands and wives that's happened to. Know two of them. One of them that was good friends of mine. And one of them said the other one was trying to kill them, and they just killed him first. Basically, it was his defense. And then the other one, I didn't know them that well, but the man plotted it and killed his wife after they left our church and left the country for several months. So your thoughts that you're entertaining today and that you stick to, you're going to be doing tomorrow. The Bible says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so he is. And all that comes out of your life is what is in your heart. And you have chosen to think of the things that you want to think about. And if you want to think about how bad somebody else is and how negative they are and how difficult they are and how no good they are, that is what you will be, an instrument in the hand of the devil to hurt and to hurt yourself worst of all. So now, you have to begin to do what Paul says here in the book of Philippians, that you have to think on these things, and he gives us a list of things that we went in detail about. This is the way for you to think. When you find yourself deviating from this, you need to do something that we're going to be doing today. We learn to replace every negative thought, everything that's a lie that's in our mind with the truth of the Word of God. And that's why we, and God's words, listen to this. God's words are not like any other but other man's words. God's words are true when every other man's a liar. That's why the Bible says, let God be true and every man a liar. Because often we say lies. All of us said lies to our spouse when we were dating them about what a great fellow we were. And we tried to put the good foot forward, and they were sucker punched into believing we were all that we said we were until they lived with us for 1 month. And then they found out the truth about us. Is that not so? Say amen if it's true. Weak amens, but boy, it's cutting to the heart today, aren't we? You know. So anyway, so we've got to learn to build with our thoughts beliefs. You change and become a spiritually minded person with biblical beliefs. Those are what are important to God. Listen to what the Bible says about your beliefs. That if thou shalt believe in thy heart that God is raised from the dead, you will be saved. This is in Romans 10, 9, when he's discussing salvation. What are the things you believe in order to be saved? There are several beliefs there. But one of the beliefs is you believe Jesus Christ was who he said he was. And that everything he said was true. And that if you believe that he was raised from the dead, then you believe everything else. I mean, everything else is easy to believe, isn't it? That he can heal people. We've seen other people who have healing powers, such as physicians that can heal and help people. So, some people who pray for others and they're healed. But God is behind all of that. God is the great healer of all mankind. And people who believe can be healed. And so that's why the Bible says the prayer of faith will save the sick. I don't want somebody praying for me like this when I'm sick. Well, Lord, I don't know if he should get well or not. But maybe it might be your will, maybe not. But whether he does or not, Lord, I hope you can help him. How many would like somebody to pray for you like that? You know, that. But how would you like the person to pray? Lord, I know that you're a healer. I believe, God, you can heal anything. And I believe you can heal my brother. And I'm lifting him up to you in the name of Jesus. And I'm asking God, begging mercy on him and heal him and help him in the name of Jesus. And thank you that you're doing it. See, that's a different prayer, isn't it, than the other. One is a prayer of faith. The other one is just hopeless thinking. Wishful thinking that doesn't mean anything. If you have a spiritual mind, it's because you have developed spiritual beliefs. And you can never have a spiritual belief if you don't have been exposed to the Word of God and you've accepted that God's Word and you believed it and you've acted on it. And so, in order to have a mind that's spiritual, that, and let me try to define a spiritual mind. This is not in your notes. I added these later, and I can give these to you later if when I put them all together if you want a copy of them. But here's a spiritual mind. A spiritual mind is one that has been developed by basic beliefs built on the Word of God, by replacing all the many lies we have believed consciously or subconsciously by Satan and the world. What you believe consciously and subconsciously is what has been written in your heart, and it becomes an inner belief. Now, let me just explain that lengthy definition that the Lord gave me about a spiritual mind. A lot of people say, I really trust in God. I believe that he's going to help me. And then the next day you see him, this, I ain't worried to death. I just got a call. And so. And then, is that congruent with what they said the day before? Huh. Their faith was not what they said it was. When the Lord told Peter that he was going to die, what did Peter say? No way. They ain't going to happen to you. As a matter of fact, he said, I don't care what these other guys do. I'll die for you. I'll stand fast with you. You let the armies come. I'm going to be there. I would never deny you. That's what he thought he believed. But what happened when push came to shove and they had beat the Lord till you couldn't hardly recognize him? They had flogged him and everything else, and his meat was falling off his back, and he was a bloody mess. And the next day, and this little maiden there, as he stood by the fire warming, said, hey, you were with him, weren't you? What did he do? What did he say then? What did Peter really believe? He didn't believe what he thought he believed about himself, did he? But later, he would become the man that he wanted to believe that he was. And he became the man that he really wanted to be, because he built in biblical beliefs from God's Word in his mind. And when he died, does anybody know how he died? He was crucified upside down. Because when they came to get him and asked him to denounce Christianity in, I believe it was in Babylon, where he was when he died. He wrote a letter from Babylon in one of his epistles. And it was probably not too long after that he died. And they pulled him up, and he said, I'm not worthy to be crucified like the Lord. And they said, okay. And we flipped him upside down and crucified him. But he became all the man that he always wanted to be, because he developed a spiritual mindset that was based on the Word of God. Listen to what the Word of God, the Bible says about it. Jesus said unto them, the flesh profits nothing. But the words that I'm speaking to you, they are spirit and life. Can you hear that? Jesus said the words that he spoke were life. And they were spirit and life. I was just sharing with our Sunday school class, our discipleship bunch. It's really interesting to see the development of physics, medical science, and science in general. Through their study and research, they've come to the same conclusions that the Bible came to a long time ago about so many things. And I was sharing with them that years ago, and I mentioned this, that we thought the atom was the smallest particle of matter, and we just found out, oh no, there's parts of the atom. There's the proton, there's the neutron, and the proton, and then the electron going all the way around it. And to split the atom was the thing to see if we can get down even closer. And then they discovered more stuff there, and more stuff there that they couldn't quite, had to change their laws of physics and their laws of understanding. And so finally, when they got down to the lowest one, then years later, now, I don't know how long ago, but they found finally, they said, we really have found it now, what the smallest piece of matter is. And you know what it is? Does anybody know? Not the Sunday school class, but anybody else? It's called a quark. They give names to stuff like that. Q-U-O-R-K. And you know what they say it is? A sound wave. They say the smallest matter, the smallest thing that everything else is built on, is a sound wave. And where do you suppose that sound wave came from? God spoke, and the worlds came into existence. We read that and say, how crazy is that? Ask the latest discoveries by these people who study physics and all these things, that the smallest part of matter is a wave, a sound wave, a sound wave. And as far as I know, voices utter sound waves. And I am putting sound across here, and you're hearing it now. And Jesus said, the words that I speak to you are spirit and life. That's so mysterious, but it's, I can understand it better now after reading some of these other things, that when God spoke, all the energy and power of this universe was moved out into the things that God wanted them to be. suns and moons and stars and celestial bodies and all the other things that God created. He created them by speaking them into existence, because even now we understand the smallest level of things that we see is made up of sound waves. How incredible is that? And so what I'm saying here is that God and the Bible is something you can trust, even though you don't understand it. And when Jesus says that my words are spirit and life, they will change your life if you have beliefs about them. You are created in such a way as to respond to the idea of faith and belief. And you know for sure what you believe, just on a natural level, you tend to be able to do. What you don't believe you could do, you will not do. If you believe you're going to get well again, your chances of surviving. I read a book years ago, Cancer Conquerors. And it was a study of all the men and women who had conquered cancer, and cancer was no longer in their body, but they had terminal cases of it, all of these. And the one uniting element about all of their lives was they believed they were going to get well. And they believed, and most of them believed, it was God that was going to work through their physicians and work through their healing teams, and most of them were strong in that belief. What you believe is the most important thing about you as far as your destiny is concerned. If you believe you're going to be a bum all your life, you'll be a bum all your life. If you believe you're going to be successful and you'll be able to conquer the problems that you have in life, you'll be able to do that. People with no eyes have become tremendous writers and singers and play the instrument so beautifully because they didn't rely on their eyes and what a person who might be blind might think. They thought of something within them that pushed them on to greatness because they believed in their own ability. They believed what God could do in their life. So you've got to stop these beliefs that come from the world. What are some beliefs that come from the world? Just think about some. How about this one? You've got to look out for yourself. Nobody else will. A lot of people believe that. You look out for number one. In the Christian community, we look out for one another. And we're committed to each other. And we believe that each other is committed to us, to help each other. The Bible has more one another commandments in the New Testament than anything else. Serve one another, love one another, show compassion to one another, meet each other's needs, love one another. It just goes on and on. That what we believe about each other. What you believe about each other either makes a friend or an acquaintance to you, or maybe even an enemy. And you may be believing a lie. And you certainly probably are. The Bible says this other great person working in our life is the devil. And the Bible says the devil comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. And his chief instrument is what? He's the father of them. Lies. It's what he uses. And he says every time he speaks, it's a lie. How many of you have ever known someone that about every time they spoke, it was a lie? I've known some that got close, you know. But everything they said was just a lie. You know, and the Bible says that lies come from Satan. He originates them or else influences people to speak lies and to believe lies and to live out lies. But God is all about truth. How many of you know that God is truth? He says, thy word, O God, is truth. Thy word is settled in the heavens. To every generation that comes along, God's word is going to be true. This book has stayed all of history of when people tried to burn it up. King James originally tried to burn every Bible and every book that he could. And eventually he financed the publishing of the Bible. The man who hated it and burned a man at the stake. Because he would not stop sharing it with people later. God saved him, turned him around, and he financed the King James Bible in the 1600s, the first publishing of it. Because God's word is true, and God's word has been there against all other things that have been against it. And so it's God's word that we've come to believe about everything that we can believe. We need to learn the truth about God, about ourselves, about each other. And we need to start living that out. Now, here's what a belief is. A belief is not what you say, but a belief is what really governs your behavior. That's what you really believe. Everything else is religious talk. It means nothing. You could say you love God, but what does God say about if you love God? You keep His commandments. If you don't pay attention to His commandments, you don't love Him. I don't care how much ooey-gooey emotionalism you have in your body. You love God, you keep His commandments. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. He said, if you do these things, you'll have great joy. See, so you've got to believe that doing what Jesus says to do is one of the greatest things that you could do for yourself, and it really is. And so a spiritual mind is one that figures out all the lies they believe and substitutes the truth of God in them and has beliefs that will guide their life. Now, I want to give you, this is not in your notes either, but I want to give this to you as five steps about building the truth of the Word of God into basic beliefs in your mind. Now, listen to a basic belief, and I wrote a definition for that also. A basic belief are the things you have chosen to believe in about the things that you think is true, either consciously or subconsciously, about life, about everything. Now, here's what a belief does. A belief forms the habits of your thought. And the thoughts that you think influence your emotional patterns of your life and result in the habits of your activities. And the habits of your activities produces the character of your personality. And your character and your personality create the same old circumstances that you keep having over and over and over again. How many of you have found yourself broke again? You know, I remember a guy that was afraid, he had some money and he was afraid he was going to be robbed. He was a salesman. He always carried a lot of money in his billfold, but his money was so important to him, he was always afraid he was going to be robbed. So when he's checked into a hotel or a motel, he locked the doors three or four times. He looked under the beds three or four times. He opened the closet door and looked at it two or three times, and then he looked out the window quite a bit, and then he finally went to bed, and he laid there, and the last thing he said was, "Well, here I am in St. Louis, broke again." Just in case somebody was there, you know, and so he had these beliefs that he was going to be robbed, or beliefs that, you know, Rockefeller believed that. Did you know that? John D. Rockefeller hired two people to stay in front of his door, or three, on eight-hour shifts to watch him and stay out in his hallway. He was afraid that he would be robbed. And he did that for a long time until he got saved. Had more money than anybody. He was the richest man in America, the first billionaire. But because of his belief systems and so forth, he was so sick he couldn't even enjoy it. About all he could eat was crackers and soup until he got his life right with God and his belief system changed and he began to enjoy himself, and he gave millions of dollars away and became one of the greatest philanthropists in America. It's a great story. Read that sometime about this. Your beliefs is what's going to create your destiny. It's going to create your life next week, what you believe today. You've got to get hold of this thing and stop believing the lies that Satan wants you to believe, and you've got to find out the truth of God and start believing that and build a spiritual mind that Brother Lynn said brings life. And I said peace. So what happens when you don't have no peace? What do you know about yourself right there? Come on, help me. You know you ain't got a spiritual mind right at that moment. You lose your peace. You lose thinking. Like Brother Rick read, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not think it was robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon himself the form of a bondservant and became obedient to death, even the death of the cross." Then God said, because of that, God highly exalted him. When you think like that, God's going to exalt you too. When you start thinking the way Jesus Christ thought, He is going to pick you up and lift you up above where you thought you would be, way above where you thought you'd be, and your life will be full of happiness and peace, and you'll have security. What we all want in our life is security, and that's one of the basic things we need and want, and women especially want to feel secure in the love of their husband, the love of their family. And men want it also. And the only place we can get it is from God. I'm telling you for sure, the only place you could get it, really get it, is from God. And others can help you feel secure when they show love to you and show that they care for you. But where you really have got to get this is from God. That's why all through the Psalms you read things like this. God is our rock. See, He's our security. That's where I'm on, the rock. God is our shield. He protects me. I'm secure behind the shield. God is my shield. God is my refuge. I just run into it. The name of the Lord's a high tower, and the righteous run into it, and they're what? Secure, safe. See, our security and safety comes from believing what God says. You get on Fox News or if you get on CBN News, change the channel, by the way, and get somewhere where you can hear something that is more real. That would have been a good place for an amen, even though it's not biblical, you know. But oh, CNN, whatever. You know, I don't watch enough to know their nicknames or whatever they are. But see, we hear the lies all the time. Lies about our political leaders. And there's truths about our political leaders, too. But there's a lot of lies about them. There's lies about we've been in places I'm not very old, in my just early 40s. And now, if any of you believe that, you really are easy to fool and deceive. I don't even know what I was getting at right then, but about lies. Oh, yeah, I was going to give you something. Okay. Well, let me give that to you because this is important. These are five steps to build a spiritual mind and biblical truth in your mind so you don't have to listen to this junk that starts rolling in your head when you go to bed at night. Because that's when it happens, isn't it? You know why it happens then? Because the Bible, I mentioned these terms, whatever you believe, consciously or subconsciously. Now, let's look at this. A lot of people believe something consciously, but subconsciously they don't believe it. They have internalize something in their basic belief system that is different what they say they believe up here. Are you with me on this? Do you understand this? Don't you know a lot of times, just like Peter, consciously, he said, I'll go anywhere with you. I'll die for you. I'll go to prison for you. I'll die for you. I'm committed. But subconsciously, the way he really believed, it took one little girl to say, you're one of these guys. And what he really believed about himself, what he acted on it and ran like a chicken. Because what he really believed was what he was down here in his heart. When people say they believe something, you have to watch them to see what they do to find out what they really believe. Because what you really believe is what you will do, not what you say. And that's what a true belief is. Jesus said, he that hears these sayings of mine and doeth them, I'll show you what he is like. He's like a man that built his house upon a rock. And the winds came and the storms came of life. And his house stood because it was built upon the rock. What was the rock? His word. He that hears these sayings of mine, the word of God, and builds his life on them, he comes to believe in what God says, and his house stands. But he said a person who built his house on sand is a person who had the basic beliefs like you got to look out for yourself. Nobody else will. You got to watch out for number one. It's all on you. You've got to work and work and work, and work is good. But it's not all on you. It's all on God for your future, your destiny, and what you believe. So you better build it on the rock because that's what you want to really believe, because what you do is what you believe. Everything else is just religious talk that you picked up somewhere. A lot of people call Jesus as Lord, and they can sing Jesus is Lord so pretty, and then you don't see them for 6 months, and they're out doing this or that or whatever, because Jesus really, wasn't really their Lord. Jesus said, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and yet what? And do not the things I say. So our faith, when we have it, that's up here and here, in both places, that's why the Bible says, take God's truth and write it where? Up here or up here? On your heart. That's the inner belief. The Bible says in the book of Proverbs, you desire truth in the inward parts. And in the inward parts, you shall make me to know wisdom. What the Bible is saying there, God just doesn't want things in our head. Head knowledge is good to have if you could get it from here to here. But here is what changes your life. When it's in your heart, it's with the heart that a man believes unto righteousness. And with his mouth, confession is made unto salvation. He gets it in here. He believes it here, and it changes his life. He believes it here, and he's just a puffed up, prideful person. That's why some people who know a lot of stuff but don't have true beliefs can't really touch other people's lives. Because it's a heart touching a heart that really counts. It's what God wants us to have, is heart-to-heart relationships that come from the truth of God in our hearts, not just in our heads. And when you have heart-to-heart stuff, it heals. And heart-to-heart stuff really gets the job done in whatever it is in life. Here are the five steps. First one, you got to hear the truth. And you have to be careful how you hear, too. The Bible says, take heed to what you hear. So when we say you hear the truth, a lot of people have heard really good Bible teaching, and they walk out, and what do? They forget it before they get to the Chinese restaurant. All they can think of is Mongolian beef. That's Mongolian beef. No. Bugu Gai Pan. Yes. You know, and all this other stuff. And then you say, hey, did you go to church today? You meet one of your friends. Amen. Yeah, we had a great worship service. What did the pastor say? Bugu Gai Pan. You know, yeah, it's about all you can remember. And so you need to catch it and pay attention to it and get it here. Don't let it go in this ear and out the other. So hear it with intention of keeping it and guard it. Then the second thing is, you choose to believe it even if you don't understand it. I cannot tell you how many things I chose to believe that I did not understand about the Bible. But I just chose to believe them because I believe this is God's Word. And after I chose to believe Him and I walked on with God, understanding and insight flooded my mind about many things. And you can hardly ask me anything that I don't understand anymore. That's not true, but I want to tell you, I understand so much more about the Bible after 40-some years of studying it and in my experience seeing it come to pass that I have a great deal of understanding about the Scripture. And I praise God for what I do have. It was all given to me by the grace of God as I chose to believe it when I didn't even understand it. You say, I don't like that kind of thinking, James. That don't make sense. Listen to what the Bible says. Trust in the Lord with your whole mind, your whole heart, and do not lean to your own understanding. But in all your ways, just say, God, show me what to do. All your ways, acknowledge Him, and then He will direct your path. That's something you'll do. You trust it with your heart, and now this is what you're doing, what you begin to trust God for in your heart. So you have to, the third step here, is to begin to seek God for the understanding after you choose to believe it. The first is hear the truth and really pay attention to it and hold it in your heart. Guard your heart because out of it are all the issues of life, the proverb says. Choose to believe the truth even if you don't understand it, step two. Step three, seek to understand it. And Tanya gave us this acronym of ASK, A-S-K. What does it mean? Okay, isn't that great? Ask, seek, knock. What does that say to you, Tanya, about your attitude about seeking? Ask, absolutely. You just keep on searching, asking, seeking, knocking. And I think those are three kinds of inquiries to make with God. Asking God, believing, and seeking God, doing over and over again. And then knocking sometimes. Go and knock on somebody's door and asked, what do you think about this? I'm trying to find out God's will for my life and so forth. So you start that seeking episode. That's four. And then the fifth thing is you do the truth as you've come to understand it and believe the truth in your heart. You start doing it. And until you start doing it, if that cycle is not complete, until you start doing it. And when it becomes the habit of your life to do what you know is true, that God has showed you in your heart, you walk in this other realm of the Spirit of God and you see great things happen in your life. Finish this sentence for me. For to him to know to do good, but do it, but does it not, to him it is sin. He got through the whole class. He was there every time he heard the preacher preach, but he didn't do anything that he heard. And instead of becoming good, it became a sin. He heard the good stuff, but he didn't do any of it. I want to tell you, there's a lot of people that are that way when they come to church. They only come to hear and not to do. But God has given us his word, not just to hear, but to cherish in our heart, and get it in our heart, and to do it. And Jesus said, that's the man that built his house upon a rock. Let's bow our heads here in prayer. This is a lesson for Christians who want to build strong faith, a spiritual mind, and see your life overwhelmed with the goodness of God, the promises of God coming true, and your life being lifted to another. I'm not saying you'll never have any more problems. Far be it from me to say that. But I'm saying you'll have more victory. You'll have more of all that God wants for you when you start really working on having a spiritual mind. Lord, help us to grasp these things today. Help me to understand them more deeply. And help me to walk in the things that I know you have told me, in Jesus' name. If you're here without Christ, these next few moments they're dedicated to you. The saddest thing I can think of is a person would go through life being a church member and believing that there is a God, but never having real saving faith. And it's not anything hard to have. You have to humble yourself. You have to realize that you cannot create your own salvation, that God never intended you to do, but that you would come to him like a little child. Jesus said, I tell you this, unless you all become like a little child, you shall in no wise enter the kingdom of heaven. What is a little child like? They're like someone who believes everything their daddy says. They're like someone who wants to learn and doesn't know, but they're teachable. And how quickly can they learn? My, my, my. You come like a little child, says, I don't know nothing. But you know this, you're a sinner. The Bible says that all of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You got to know that you've done wrong in your life over and over again. And sometimes you just can't get it right. You just keep doing wrong. Sin has a hold on our lives. And Jesus died for our sin, which is our own desire to be our own God, really. So he says, repent of your sin. Turn away. Repent. That's what you have to do. Say, I've been trying to do this myself. Now I've got to trust God. Amen. That's step number one. Step number two, you put all your faith in Jesus Christ and what he did for you. It's not what you can do for God. It's all that God can do for you that God wants to do. You got to believe in Jesus. He is the Son of God. He came to die for our sin. And he paid a price that none of us could pay. It satisfied God's great requirements of justice and righteousness and mercy, because God wants to have mercy. But someone has to pay for our sins, and Jesus himself paid for those sins on the cross for us. And it satisfied the character of God when he did. And all who would believe in him and make him the Lord of their life can be saved. That doesn't mean you become perfect, but it means that Jesus is your boss and you're going to try to live for him to the best of your ability, making him the Lord of your life. And whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord, see, will be saved. So these three things, let me lead you in this prayer, but it has to come from your own heart. That means you really want to do this yourself. You're not being coerced. You're not being influenced by your emotions. You decide, I want to be a Christian. I want to follow Jesus. I want to go to heaven when I die, and I'm ready to do what it takes. And it takes these three things. Will you repent of your sin? In your heart and mind, say, yes, Lord, I repent of my sin. I turn my back on my old ways. I want to live for you. That's number one. Say that in your heart. Lord, I want to live for you. I repent. Now, secondly, put all your faith in Jesus. You don't have to work for your salvation. You have to believe what Jesus did. That's faith in Him. Put your faith in Jesus. He'll settle the works end of it for you. He'll show you what to do. So say, Lord, I believe in you today. I choose to believe you died for my sins. Now, step three in your home, just pray this. Just pray it. Pray, God, today I make you my boss, the Lord of my life. Thank you for saving me today. With eyes bowed and just do this in the privacy of your heart. I'm not going to ask you to do anything else except this. The Bible says, confess with your mouth that the Lord Jesus is your Lord. And you'll have time to do that for the rest of your life. But would you begin that confession by raising your hand this morning and saying, Brother James, I did pray that prayer. I do want that. And I am making Jesus the boss. Would you hold your hand up now if you made that decision? And you want to begin. Praise God for you. Amen. Anybody else praying that prayer today? If you mean that, you want that, lift up your hand. The greatest thing you can do. Anybody else? Amen. This is the day the Lord has made. And we'll rejoice and be glad in it. God is so good to us. Looking forward to all that God's going to do in our lives as we learn to live with and have the mind of Christ.